Hello, guys, and welcome to the second episode of Toxic Masculinity. It's been a few months since I've been on doing something, and I was thinking about what it is I wanted to talk about. And something came to the forefront over the last few weeks of me hanging out and doing stuff. And I'm not a super huge video game guy, but I do play video games, and in the world of video game, there's a big hue and cry over content, over length, over a lot of different things with video games. And so I thought I would jump in and maybe talk a little bit about what's going on in the video game world, why it is important from the standpoint of entertainment. That has nothing to do with our day-to-day lives, but it does cater to why our entertainment is changing and why certain game companies and publishers don't make any profit and why they don't understand certain things. So stay tuned with us. We're going to talk a little bit about that. We may get into some other stuff later on as it goes, but right now we're just going to talk a little bit about some video games. We're going to talk a little bit, at least from my opinion, about what is the motivation behind the change in video games, but also why it's not working for the publishers, and what I've noticed the big trend is on YouTube and Twitch and platforms like that when it comes to some of the new games and why some of the new games are bombing really bad. So stick with us. First things first, my dad always told me to stop playing video games because I would never make a living at it. You don't make money living in a fictional world playing a character that doesn't exist. Of course, this was in the early 90s and before guys like PewDiePie and my daughter's personal favorite, Jacksepticeye, were in to the YouTube and the Twitch and the publishing and the 50 million subscribers and making millions of dollars a year to be a personality on YouTube while playing video games. Just goes to show you, sometimes you just need to follow your heart. But that's all water under the dam now. Anyway, what is going on in the video game world? You know, there's so many games that come out that are really, really good, and then you've got extremely mediocre games made by what used to be good publishing companies. There's a couple things that are going on in the video game world, and it's very unfortunate. One of the big ones is the whole aspect of video games, the whole realm, the whole industry is being inundated by social justice warriors. And these SJWs are not content to leave well enough alone. So we're going to tackle a few different points from the standpoint of social justice, from the standpoint of content, from the standpoint of length of games, quality of games, things like that. I think we're going to start with the big elephant in the room, which is people are getting turned off by video games based on the fact that everything is now so politically correct. I don't know about you, but for me personally, when I play a video game, I want to be transported out of the realm of my current boring existence for a few hours while I play as a different character, whether it is to save the world, shoot down Nazis, play a puzzle game, survival, Fallout, anything along those lines. And I don't need a bunch of social justice, specialized things to make sure that people are not offended by these different things. That's not why I play video games. I deal with offense every day. I live in Portland, Oregon. We are the ca West Coast capital of I'm offended. And so, a couple prime examples. The first one is, of course, the big one that's going around now is Battlefield 5, having a female lead protagonist, despite the fact that this game is supposed to be set in World War II. Now, for anybody that is a history buff, and for me, so that way people don't think that I'm just pulling shit out of my ass, here's the deal. My 2-year college degree, I have an associate's degree from Grossmont College. My emphasis was in history. So I was a history major. I got an associate's degree from the community college. Yes, I did not pursue something beyond that, but I do have a grasp of history. And one of the big ones, specifically of what they call Western civilization. I got news for you. That unless it was the French Resistance or certain instances in the Russian army, there were no women on the front lines in World War II. Even the Russian women were either manning artillery or snipers. They were not on the front lines. 99% of the people that fought in World War II were men. Out of that 99%, well over 90% were white. So the whole aspect of the social justice, they literally have put in a female lead protagonist that is, in the World War II on the front lines fighting. And they got all upset because people are pissed off about this. And I'm not pissed off about it because it's a female protagonist. I've played Tomb Raider. I like Tomb Raider. I've played other games. I play some games where I specifically choose to be a girl, just to mix up the variety a little bit. When I play Skyrim, sometimes I play like a female elf character or something like that, just for some variety. It's got nothing to do with sexism. It's got everything to do with Battlefield 5 is trying to sell us a predominantly World War II, quote unquote, historically accurate game, but then they throw in a British woman with a bionic arm. And when you watch the whole game, I mean, they've got gun mods, they've got things in this game that have nothing to do with World War II and things like that. So it's a and of course, if you want to know more, there are plenty of YouTube videos about it. You can go look it up. The community's going batshit crazy, and then of course the guy in charge of EA and DICE and the gentleman in charge of DICE Studios basically told their fans, this is what we're going to do. You can go to hell. Don't buy the game if you don't like where we're going with it, and admitted it was a social justice move. Like myself, most of the people in the world do not want to deal with social justice when they play video games. That's why we play video games. A big one that is confusing the living hell out of people is Far Cry 5. You have a game based on a majority of white people in Montana, and some of the conservatives are evil, some of the conservatives are nice, some of the conservatives are middle of the road. You don't know if they're good or bad. They're just regular everyday people. And this literally confused the game reviewers at GameSpot. They didn't know how to deal with this because in their beta soy boy minds, all white people are evil, especially white Anglo-Saxon Protestant males, and they don't understand why certain statements were made. Has no authenticity or doesn't take into account that the game looks great, probably plays really good. And most of the people were reviewing that were reviewing it were saying, man, the graphics are good, the playability is good, the story takes you outside of the realm of, everyday life, which is what a game is supposed to do. The social justice warriors are going batshit crazy over the new Doom game. Here's the thing. Social justice warriors do not buy video games. You know who buy video games? Guys like me, blue collar, wear boots, go to work every day. Why? Because when we come home, we want to get away from some of the harsh realities that we live with every day. We take an hour, 2 hours, however long, and we play a video game that takes us outside of the realm of this world. Now, one of the big things that the publishers tend to forget is for some of us, we play video games, others go to the movies. Others listen to a lot of music. All of these are modes of entertainment. Entertainment is to bring us pleasure. If it's not going to bring us pleasure and it's going to bring us a bunch of tedium, we are not going to buy it. So, social justice in these games is really starting to ruin the gaming industry. And just like with the rest of the entertainment industry, you're going to take the advice of 8% of your total game conglomerate, your potential players, and you're going to listen to that 8% and basically say F you to the other 92% of the people that buy your games. So, hopefully these publishers, they're starting to lose significant amounts of money because people just won't buy their games. You're pushing a political agenda. I don't play video games for politics. I play video games for whatever. If I am offended by a game, I'll either return it or if I find out ahead of time, I initially won't buy it. It's my right to do so. If I buy the game and it's got something that's offensive in it, I can look past that if the campaign and everything else is good. I've done that on a few occasions where it's like, ooh, that was not what I signed up for. But because the game itself was so good, I could look past a few instances of being uncomfortable, if you will, to enjoy the rest of the game. To me, and if it brings out that emotion, it probably was meant to bring out that emotion. It was good writing, good storytelling, and that's what a game should be, is good storytelling. SJWs, if you want, you give me comments later, you email me about this. If you want me to get more into depth into this, I can pull up information. I can bring out some of the, give specific YouTube videos that I've seen talking about specifically Battlefield 5, the social justice against Far Cry, the new Doom, all these different things. So let me know in the comments. Also, let me know, if you email me. The email I will get to you in just a minute. We're going to take a quick break and start segment two here shortly. So the email for the show is toxicmasculinity.show@gmail.com. toxicmasculinity.show@gmail.com. You can email me your thoughts, your praise, your hate, everything. I'm open for it all. Hopefully you enjoy what I'm doing and are willing to send me some feedback. And I love to hear from people. I'm looking to get some guest hosts in, some co-hosts, people to sit here so you don't have to sit here and listen to me rant for 20 minutes to an hour about various things that are in this brain of mine. We can actually have an interactive conversation and discourse about different subjects. So I'm working on getting some co-hosts in to help me out. Also, we have a couple events coming up that I will talk about in the future. I will actually probably put out a small podcast about these particular events coming up. Basically, they're kind of a panel discussion between men and women about what makes men tick and what makes women tick. And we will be putting them on here in some type of format. I'm still working out the details on that, but that's something that's coming up. If it's something you'd like to listen to, definitely subscribe and listen to it. The other thing is Anchor, which is the hosting site and app for these podcasts, has opened up a support your favorite podcast kind of thing financially. If that's something that the listeners would like to do, again, let me know in the email or send me a message here letting me know that you would love to support financially what I do. And if I get good feedback, I may even start a Patreon. And we would like to I would like to take this podcast to the next level, maybe even get it so that, you know, we can get a few thousand people on board with this. We had 80 times that my first podcast was listened to, which is more than I expected to get. I greatly appreciate it. I'm humbled by that, and I thank you for that. But if you like what you hear and eventually you want to, and you find it in your heart to want to contribute so that I have more time to be able to pump out content instead of every couple months, definitely let me know either in the comments or messages here or by the email. Once again, toxicmasculinity.show@gmail.com. And yes, that was the theme from the Dragonborn from Skyrim. I had to, since we're talking about video games, I had to put that in there. So the next area that I want to discuss about video games, and this one, I don't know if everybody is feels the same about this as I do. It's kind of a pet peeve of mine, and that is content. Progressively over the last, I would say, 10 to 12 years, content has gotten less and less and less as people emphasize more and more and more on the multiplayer and the co-op aspect of video games. 2008, 2009, really 2008 through 2010 was the whole, when multiplayer kind of came into its own and everybody was playing multiplayer. With the advancements in the internet, people could actually play real time. There was lag, but it wasn't as significant as it had been in the early 2000s when you tried to play online games. So everybody was multiplayer. Well, that got old, like I knew it would. I told people then that multiplayer was going to go by the wayside. People were going to get bored with it. And it wasn't, not necessarily by the wayside, but people would just get bored with it. And they would need something else. So, true to form, within 5-6 years, you've got so many Call of Duties, you've got all this other stuff going on that it actually has now become an issue where it's like, ugh, multiplayer. So the Game Geeks decided, hey, let's do co-op, which is not a new concept in the scheme of things. Co-op's been around forever. The difference was it was a split screen. It was very limited, and frankly, at least in my case, I had to be really drunk to play it because of how hokey it was. But now with co-op, you can have four separate people in four separate areas of the world on the same team going up against another four or five set, or how many sets of people all over the world in teams, and you use a full screen like you would be playing a regular video game. And you've got things like, what is it? What's the big one? Why am I having a brain fart right now? Anyway, you've got several of the big games. Destiny, that's the one I'm trying to think of. You know, hundreds and hundreds of people online. This all started with World of Warcraft and, you know, things like that. Now that's starting to wane. People are starting to go, oh, co-op, whoop-de-doo. The other thing is it's kind of hard to play a game if you're the one that's plugging in and you're playing a game that is primarily co-op. And let's say you're in a team of six and you're the only one that's online and want to play this game really bad. There's also a lot of people that play these games that are now in the realm that I have been in since this whole inception started, of the first player, you know, single player campaigns, you know, quest driven campaigns. You know, the publishers are not getting this. You know, the guys that publish Call of Duty, it's all about the co-op. It's all about the multiplayer, all about the multiplayer, all about the multiplayer. They've dropped the ball so many times. The last really good Call of Duty was called Modern Warfare 2. World at War had its moments. Ghosts, I like the story, but again, another failed opportunity because the emphasis was so much on multiplayer. And you notice a trend in this. I mean, 2012 gave us Skyrim, a single player, either first or third person, quest-driven campaign. You move up a few years, you've got The Witcher 3, Wild Hunt, you have The Last of Us, you have Fallout, now with God of War. These are all games that are single-player, quest-driven campaigns, and these are the ones that are consistently top of the heap, game of the year, winning awards, all that. And yet the publishers and the people in charge don't listen. And the reason they don't listen is very simple. It's easy for them to be lazy and pump out a multiplayer game. Black Ops 4 is a reskin of Black Ops 3 with just a couple little tweaks. That's all it is. Battlefield 5, if you look at the play style, you look at the stuff on YouTube, it's not even released yet. It's a clone of Battlefield 1, just set in World War II. All they did was change the skins. It's real easy with multiplayer games to be very, very lazy. When you have to sit down with a group of people and come up with a single player quest-driven campaign, that means you got to use your imagination. You've got to come up with some good stuff. You've got to make sure that quests are not boring, that you give enough but not too much to the players. You got to know exactly when and where to plug things in. What kind of spoilers do you want? This, that, and the other. Right now, the people that are kicking ass are CD Projekt Red with their Witcher a few years ago, and the publishers of the new God of War. And I have a sneaking hunch that the new Red Dead Redemption, who is also on the list of social justice warriors whining and crying about it, will also be one that is going to be tremendous. But the reason with that is not only is it a online, it's NPC. I'm not sure anything about co-op modes or things like that. I assume it does, but being that it's online, there's a lot of different nuances. We'll see when it comes out. But It's easy and it allows companies to be lazy when they can come out with multiplayer games, co-op games, because all they have to do is reskin what they already have. And then they turn around and they sell it to us for 50, 60, 70 bucks a game. You know, people are getting wise to that. That's why a lot of us gamers, you know, are, you know, telling them, hey, give us more single player quest driven campaign games. The other thing is they're like, well, you know, Black Ops 4 is, you know, leaning more towards the 14, 15, 16 year old demographic. Well, that's all good and well, but the difference is now than it was when we were 15, 16, 17, 20 years old when these games came out initially is my dad, if he was to look at video games, he couldn't tell by a trailer or by, you know, a beta or anything else if a game was going to be good or bad. He's from a completely different era. His childhood had nothing to do with technology and entertainment. You're now marketing to a group of people who have moms and dads. Like for myself, I'm going to be 40 in a few weeks. My daughter's 13. She's going to be 14 this next go around. So if you're marketing towards her, I'm going to be the one buying games. Her mom is going to be the one buying games. We grew up with games. We know what to look for. So when you give us cheap shit, we're not going to buy your games. And when you reskin stuff, we're not going to buy your games. And yet, you know, companies losing tens of millions of dollars, you know, shareholders dumping stock, and they don't get why they're losing money. And it's because they have not looked at what the demographic is on the video games. Content. The other one is give us more campaigns or a longer campaign. You know, I mean, that's the other reason why games like The Witcher, games like not Call of Duty. Call of Duty's the not even in this realm. Why can't I think? God of War. Thank you. God of War. The Last of Us, things like that, have a campaign that is long enough that it keeps our attention. It's not so long that we're just sitting there going, oh, good Christ, you know, but it is, you know, long enough. Give us a 10-hour campaign, a 20-hour campaign. Give us something that makes us come back for more and makes it replayable. Not a 4-hour campaign, and then we're going to give you a bunch of maps and we expect you to run around aimlessly and shoot at people. Gamers are getting away from that. They want content. They want to be transported away like they're in an interactive movie. So games, you know, content needs to be brought up. It needs to be a stellar. Tell us a story. Stop shortchanging us, or we're not going to buy your games anymore. Call of Duty is on the way out. Madden is on the way out. All these games are on the way out because they refuse to listen. They refuse to adapt. They refuse to make their games playable in such a way that those of us that are now in our 30s and 40s that remember when these games first came out and were good, we're not going to buy them, and we're certainly not going to buy them for our kids. We'll go to more independent publishers, and that's really where I think the video game industry is going to go. More on that in a couple minutes. All right, and then finally I want to talk about some of the new independent publishers that are coming into the game. One of my favorites is the new game, well, it's been out for about a year, year and a half now, I guess, called The Long Dark, and it's by Hinterland Games. Very different from your normal post-apocalyptic survival. There are no zombies. There are no special, there are no aliens. There's none of that other stuff that people throw in. Again, just like with the multiplayer, the laziness of multiplayer, the laziness of zombies is blatantly apparent. There are a few games, I'm not a big zombie guy myself, but there are a few games where it works. The Last of Us is one. Some of the other ones, one or two others that I've played in the past, I don't remember their names because I don't play zombie games. I'm not a big fan of zombie games. In my opinion, zombies is a lazy man's way of filling in content necessity for investors. I've ran out of ideas, but we have to have a game that's a certain length, so let's add two or three levels of zombies, and that takes care of that. The investors will be happy, and we'll still be able to sell the game. So, but The Long Dark is a great game. It's quote-unquote post-apocalyptic, very realistic, but the only way we're going to get big companies like EA, DICE, Activision, Bethesda, you know, all these big companies to understand that, you know, we don't want a social justice political agenda. We want better content is to pull away and start funding and supporting independent programmers and small production companies and coming in and saying, hey, you know, we like what you're doing. We're going to support you. CD Projekt Red that does The Witcher is a small company out of, I believe, Poland. And look at what they did with The Witcher 3. And, you know, it won all those awards. It got Game of the Year, all that good stuff. So, you know, the gaming community can have a voice that will be heard. It just needs to realize that, yeah, okay, in the scheme of our day-to-day lives, what happens in a quote-unquote gaming world doesn't affect our bottom lines, but it does affect how we view our entertainment, whether our entertainment is fun or not, and ultimately that will also affect how we interact with other people in the community. So that's just my humble opinion, my rant, my rave this go around. Once again, my name is Philip Vandermeulen. This is Toxic Masculinity. And if you have something that you would like to add to this, questions, answers, hate mail, just want to know who I am, send me an email, toxicmasculinity.show@gmail.com, or you can leave a message or a question at this site here for Anchor or any of the other areas where this is published. And I appreciate you listening. Thank you very much and have a good day.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.